Blog Talk Radio.
I gotta ask you though, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think that every, I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people. If some brothers would step up and leave the household, we wouldn't have this problem.
Wait. But so why?
Hey,
if he can't step up, why be with him then? If he can't step up, why are you with him?
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
It seems like black women, anytime you don't want to be with them or you talk about their faults or anything, they take offense. It's all a matter of preference for black women. Why is it that when black women, when you say anything other than I want to be with a black woman, they take personal offense to that?
That's a good question.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Brothers and sisters, no, I am not referring to siblings of the opposite gender who may happen to share the same bloodline. Brothers and sisters, nor am I referring to the courtesy you bestow upon those beloved members of your place of worship who may share the same moral and spiritual principles as yourself. Brothers and sisters, examine this for a moment. When you were first made aware that you were an active participant in this experience we all call life, it must have quickly dawned on you that very few, if any, of the circumstances that surrounded your early life were not of your own choosing. You did not choose your parents. You did not choose your race or ethnicity. If you are African American and a resident of the United States, you very quickly learned that the skin color your physical presence was covered with came with a certain degree of negative connotations. You quickly learned that many of your ancestors experienced such a heinous travesty against humanity that to this day it is extremely hard to speak about it in open, frank terms. You ask yourself, what was my mother or grandmother's crime that she found herself being treated like a second-class citizen in the early to middle part of the 20th century? What transgressions was my father or grandfather guilty of that would warrant such blatant unfair treatment when seeking employment and or housing? You quickly learned that a whole generation of people, bonded by the hue of their skin tone and their African homeland heritage, experienced so many years of challenges, so many years of injustices and adversity, and they couldn't help but to share a certain kinship that would provoke them to refer to each other as brother and sister. Fast forward now, listeners, to the close of the first decade in this now the 21st century, and when you look around, you quickly realize that much of this kinship I spoke of that arguably reached its peak during the civil rights movement of the 60s, has slowly but surely diminished, and what you see now are single black men and single black women full of so much disdain for one another, so much lack of respect for obstacles overcome by the opposite gender, so much animosity that is many times given birth to by nothing more than shallow, petty differences, that you almost have to ask yourself, are the terms brother and sister still valid in the urban community? Brothers and sisters. 3 weeks ago, I discussed for 2 hours the anger and resentment that is expressed by some black women regarding the idea of their brothers seeking the romantic companionship of Caucasian women, Asian women, and other women who are not African American. Tonight, I have chosen to continue the conversation that will center on some of the factors that contribute to this growing rift between single black men and single black women that, in the opinion of many, seems as though it's going to get worse before it gets better. Brothers and sisters, joining me tonight in this conversation are two intelligent, articulate African-American women, one who is the product of a biracial union, and the other a woman who has very strong opinions about the high number of irresponsible fathers in the black community. Their names, Michelle Hope and Natasha Dixon. And these two outspoken, charismatic women from the popular Los Angeles broadcast radio program known as Females Uncut are about to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God.
When I made the movie, it was never my intention to bash black women. What it's about is trying to show black women for the first time big some of the contributions to why our relationships don't work actually do come from this.
So online dating actually allows you to get to know someone far better than if you met someone for 20 minutes in a bar.
Really? I actually agree with that. I agree with Evan O'Hara.
We were created to couple up, and I don't care who you are, how successful you think you have it, or how happy of a life you think you would have without a companion. We were created with a longing to couple with someone. Else.
Only God can judge me, and only God can judge these people. Everyone has the right to live their life, and who am I to judge a person for what they want to do? If it works for you, more power to you. Go ahead.
LA is like a meat market.
don't I know?
I don't know what it is, but people, somebody's looking for something. So fried chicken and black women to me. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. I even wrote a poem. So just like chicken.
Miss McDermott, glad to have you here.
Alan, I'm just feeling a lot of love right now. Yeah, you got me all a-tingling, so talk about it.
702 is up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and Jimmy Jean-Louis.
Hey, what's up, Alan? What's up, Jimmy J?
Hey, how are you? Jimmy J, somebody knows me.
Oh, my God. Alan.
No, you don't have.
You're horrible.
What?
Excuse me, what is your name?
Alan. Alan Roger Curry.
Alan Roger Curry. I thought so. You don't beat around the bush, do you?
No need to. I keep it real. Up front, straightforward.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then how?
Chauffeur, come and take me away, cause I've been standing in this line for like 5 whole days. Me and security ain't getting along, and when I got to the front, they told me all of the tickets were gone. So just take me home where the mood is mellow and the roses are thrown, M&Ms are yellow and the light bulbs around my mirror don't flicker. Everybody gets a nice autograph picture, one for you and one for your sister, who had to work tonight but is an avid listener. Every song's a favorite song and mics don't feedback. All the reviewers say you need to go and see that. And everybody claps cause everybody is pleased. And then they all take the stage as a performance for me. Like ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. Your camera's here and the microphone's and they wanna know.
Yo, Mode 1, this is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Ha ha, that's right, hey, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, That's right. We're on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, May 1st, and I give much props to my good friend here in Northwest Indiana region in Chicagoland area, Gerard McClendon, for that promo. He hooked me up with a very nice intro. He and his brother Theo host a cable TV show known as The McClendon Report, where they talk about politics, current events, issues related to the urban community, and just about everything related to life in general. And also, Gerard, as he mentioned in the intro, he's featured on WTTW, that's the PBS channel, in Chicago area. So, Gerard, thank you for that. He's also the one who filmed my infamous YouTube Mode 1 video. Catch it on YouTube if you haven't seen it already. Most people have. That's my Mode 1 video on YouTube. Gerard McClendon was the filmmaker who filmed that for me. Much props and love to him and Theo. Well, it turns out that some people who are very established in broadcast radio are peeping in on Upfront and Straightforward Alan Roger Curry. I'm not going to mention the name of this popular syndicated radio host. We'll just leave it at Everything is Everything. Hint, hint, wink, wink. One of his producers contacted my publicist in Chicago, Ms. Tony Reed, and inquired about a couple of my guests from about a little over a month ago. Remember Anthony and Melanie Clark, the charming couple I conversed with about 2 hours about their book? They got a book with a very controversial title. It's called How to Get Over That Bitch and Grow Balls They Can't Resist. Well, a popular radio host, again, I'm not mentioning his name, Everything is Everything, he wanted to interview those the Clarks, because they, one of the producers heard them on my show. So see, Upfront and Straightforward got to provide guests for the more popular and established radio hosts. Do I know how to pick good guests or what? Do I know how? Okay, enough bragging on the quality of my guests. Can you believe we're one-third of the way in 2008? One-third of 2008 is just gone. But as they say, time flies when you're having fun. When you're having fun, time flies. So if you're not having fun, today is Thursday, March 1st. Today is Thursday, March 1st. If you're not having fun, I got to give some shout-outs to my chat room. They just been showing me so much love. Got Miss Heartbeat, Army Wife. Army Wife is still the champion of calling in to the most Blog Talk radio stations. She's now at 17,322 shows that Army Wife has called into. Hype Style, that's my younger cousin, Hype Style. Christopher Curry, what's up? Adrian, Anthony, Music Nika, Chaco Divine, Hyper, Cruiser, Purpose One, Gina, what's up? La La, Culture First, Maverick, Marcus Boston, Chi-Town, Flawless, Tony Reeves, Esquire, Jali, LC, and just too many other people for me to name. Angry Asian Cookie, what's up? Lotus in the house. They joining me tonight, listeners, on Upfront and Straightforward. Do I sound geeked or what? Well, unless you've been in a cave for the last 3 to 4 weeks, you know what tonight's show is about. On April 10th, I had an episode entitled Angry Single Black Women Who Despise Black Men Who Date White Women. Now, you notice I shortened that down. Now it's just the chasm between black singles. But before, I had that long title. But the particular episode ended up attracting, for me personally, my highest number of live listeners I've ever had since I first got on Blog Talk Radio. And the conversation was in many ways enlightening, entertaining, and even at some points contentious and combative. By the end of that episode, I had so many chat room users clamoring for a part two that I decided I was going to meet the demand, and I said, what the hell? So here we are to talk about it, some of these issues again today. This is only going to kind of sort of be part two. I don't know how much I'm going to continue the whole interracial dating issue. I'm going to touch on that, but I'm going to go into other facets about this so-called growing rift between single black men and single black women. And I just want to, you know, concentrate on a lot of the general animosity or perceived animosity, the perceived misperceptions and invalid generalizations expressed by both black men and black women in today's dating scene. But before I get into the details of tonight's conversation, let me give a quick plug for my show next week. Joining me on Thursday, May 8th, will be none other than the very candid, the very provocative and ultra sexually straightforward Miss Alexis K. Taylor. Alexis K. Taylor. She will be joining me next week to talk about sexual duplicitous behavior by both men and women, but mainly women. You know, women who play the little Miss Innocent role in public, but behind closed doors, they get real freaky, real kinky, imitating a porno star. That's what we're going to talk about with Miss Alexis K. Taylor. Also, we're going to touch on a concept known as the Madonna whore concept. Madonna whore concept. If you're not familiar with that, to give you a brief thing about the Madonna whore concept, that's when a man wants to date and or marry a woman who he perceives as being very virtuous, innocent, sexually conservative, all that good stuff. But then he wants another woman on the side that's just the opposite, that's just a super freak, as Rick James would say. So that's what we're going to be talking about next week with Alexis K. Taylor. And if you're not familiar with it, look up in Google. Look up the Madonna whore concept in Google. I'm a big fan of Google. I'm a Google fan. Then the following week, May 15th, I'll be interviewing a stand-up comedian from Canada who has written a book that has received mixed reactions, mainly positive reactions, depending on if you're a man or a woman. The book is entitled God is a Woman, or God Must Be a Woman, Dating Disasters. The author's name is Ian Coburn, and he will be joining me 2 weeks from tonight. As always, before I get to my guests, I have to give my shout-outs first. Many thanks to the co-founders of Blog Talk Radio, CEO Mr. Alan Levy, Chief Operating Officer Mr. Bob Cherish, the Blog Talk Radio Executive Staff, Mr. John Sweet, Luke Armour, Miss Hillary Lee Wong, my broham and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, my cousin Chicago, J.P. Jones, at the ball in New Jersey, Hype Style, he's in the chat room. That's right, that's my younger cousin, Alvin Spencer in Denver. Shout out to a few friends, Gordon Trube in Indianapolis, Arnold Reed and Greg O'Hines in Michigan. Greg, they've been spreading the word about my show to some of my friends from college. I really appreciate that. Kai Blackburn in Indianapolis, my dogs Terry Waters, John Brevard, Mickey Rogers, all my fellow Blog Talk Radio Network family, some of them in this very room right now. I already mentioned Army Wife, she calls into every show. Check out any show and you'll see Army Wife calling and say, hello, this is Army Wife. Nikki Woods, Will Wavy, the Professor, Dangerous Lee, Nikki Love, Madison Media, Kevin Ross, Content Black Woman, Cafe Ale, Andre and Amber, just way too many more quality hosts for me to mention at this time. If you get a chance, listeners, please check out the weekly lineup of all the high-quality talk radio shows available for you on this Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. When you go to the main site, just click on air right now and check out shows such as the GlennandTeresa.com show hosted by Chi-Town Flawless. Give props to my listeners in L.A., Chicago, Baltimore, D.C., Vegas, Seattle, Indianapolis, too many more cities to mention. If you're a brand new listener, say this is your first time ever in life listening to Upfront and Straightforward. This is usually a 60-minute talk radio program designed for single men, single women, 18 years of age or older. Tonight's show is 2 hours. That's right. This will be my third two-hour show. One, two, three. I'm losing count. Yeah, I think this is my third two-hour show, and that's because the discussion I know is going to be flowing, but normally it's a 60-minute, and I talk about anything and everything that is directly and indirectly related to enhancing the social lives, love lives, and even sex lives of single men and single women in various cities across the country and even in Canada, because Metal Hayes, who's normally in here, he's from Montreal, Canada. And again, if you want to find out anything about yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, just Google me, A-L-A-N, Roger, C-U-R-R-I-E, Google me, or Google Mode1, M-O-D-E-O-N-E, and you'll find all kinds of hits. If you find anything scandalous or controversial, that's that other Alan Curry in Paducah, Kansas. That's not me. Anything scandalous, controversial, that's some other dude named Alan Roger Curry. I'm the good one. Hey, a few quick notes before I introduce my first guest for the evening. Tomorrow, there's been a few what I would call celebrity types that have read my book, Mode One, and one of those is Jon Favreau, and he's directing a movie that's coming out tomorrow that's coming out tomorrow called Iron Man, John Favreau, Iron Man. Check it out at theaters. He is Red Mole 1 because his movie Swingers is mentioned in Mole 1. John Favreau, check out his movie Iron Man. That starts tomorrow. Well, technically, it starts tonight. Hey, did you check out that Barbara Walters admitted that she was getting down with a brother back in the day? What is up with that, man? We're talking about interracial relationships and, oh, Barbara Walters, man. She wanted some of the brothers, man. What's that about? That kind of tripped me out when I read that today. Barbara Walters supposedly had an affair with Senator Edward Brooke back in the day, and I'm just going to leave that alone right now. But, hey, don't forget Mother's Day. Mother's Day is coming up May 11th. Mother's Day is coming up May 11th. And, hey, if there's, you know, we're talking about brothers and sisters having problems with each other. I know all brothers got much love for their mama, don't you? You better say that in church. Say, I got love for my mama. That's right, Mother's Day, May 11th. Okay, now we're going to move to introduction of my first guest. I hope she's on the line because I see about five numbers on the line, and I actually don't know which one is hers. But she is on the popular L.A. radio show. It is called Females Uncut. There's five co-hosts on that show. I forget the names of the rest of them. I think Liz, Robin, and Nicole, I want to say. But the two I'm going to be interviewing tonight is Miss Michelle Hope, and a little later, Miss Natasha Dixon. And, you know, Michelle Hope is actually a fellow Hoosier. If you don't know what a Hoosier is, that means you're a native person from Indiana. You're from Indiana. But now she resides in Los Angeles, where she was named 2007 Miss Los Angeles International. And like I said, she's on the popular show known as Females Uncut. Listeners, give it up for Miss Michelle Hope. What's up, Michelle?
Hello. How are you?
How are you doing this evening?
I'm absolutely fabulous. I'm so excited to be here. I want to thank you very, very much and let you know that this is exciting, and I'm really excited to kind of let people know what a fellow Hoosier, who is now a transplant in Los Angeles, what I think and what I feel.
Well, I'm glad to have you. And, yeah, I try to get everybody who's listening to my show all psyched up and pumped up. I don't care if I'm talking about the tragedy of water bottles. I'm going to do my best to get people psyched up to listen to Upfront and Straightforward. But, hey, I'm going to jump right into some of these questions because we got so much to talk about. First of all, do you think, Michelle, that this whole idea of tension between single black men and single black women is valid, or do you think the media and other factions of society have kind of blown it out of proportion?
Well, I think it's very valid, first of all. One thing I want to let all the listeners know is that I am a product of a biracial or an interracial relationship. My mother is white and my father is black. So I have a very different outlook on all of this. I was raised, like you said, in Indiana. So therefore, I was raised around mostly white people and dated as a young in person white people, and then moved to Los Angeles and was immediately exposed to a black culture that I had never tasted in Indiana. So I've had both experiences. And I think there is something to be said about the relationship that black men and black women share and the relationships that we don't share.
Okay. Well, in your opinion, Michelle, just in your – I know you can't speak for anybody other than yourself.
Yes.
What do you think, based on your experiences and observation, what do you think is the biggest issue that is contributing to this so-called rift between single black men and single black women? Do you think it's honesty,
communication?
Communication.
It's, I think it boils down to our lack as a people, our lack to communicate. What we want to do now is we want to send a text message. We want to IM. Nobody wants to talk to anybody anymore. Nobody wants to sit down, take the time to look at someone in the eyes and speak to them.
Okay.
And I think that's a really, really big problem because here's an example. I'll give you a very, very, very vivid example. A young man and myself, I'm interested, he's interested, but unfortunately he's extremely ambitious and works a lot. He feels that communication can be done via text, via IM, and phone calls are not necessary. But unfortunately there's no tone in text messages, so you're not necessarily sure what the person means by what they're saying. And then there's just room for imagination to run. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You give us, and women, we know this. We know that women, we have active imaginations. So
that's
if,
my understatement laugh.
But, and it is. So if we don't start speaking to each other eloquently and speaking words that are impeccable, we're never going to get to a point where we understand each other.
Okay. Well, I would generally agree with that. Okay, now we talk about a lot of what divides us, and we're going to continue to talk about that throughout the evening, but let me flip the script for a second, Michelle, and ask you, given the current climate in society, I mean, in the 20th century, you know, or let's start with the 19th, you know, you had slavery in previous centuries. Then it moved on to 20th century to Jim Crow segregation, of course, the civil rights movement in general. Today, even though we know there's racial tension that still exists, I want to ask you, what do you think unifies us or gives us a reason to be unified as brothers and sisters?
Now, when you talk about that unification, are you talking about as a people or as couples?
Both. I would throw out both.
Okay. Well, I think first and foremost, I think that we've been exploited through media, and the media has led us into a whole new type of slavery. It's a slavery that's in the mind. The images that we project of black people here in Hollywood are not necessarily positive images, nor are they images that are to be taken seriously in the eye of the public. Like, think about it. Do we have any black dramas? Do we ever show on television black men and black women having successful relationships? Absolutely not. And if they are, it's in some sort of comic sense. We're on there shucking and jiving to make people laugh. We're not producing dramas, okay? It's unfortunate because that is how we're taught how to communicate. We're taught through watching others when we're young. Now we have to take this all the way back to when we're children. We're taught to communicate through watching others communicate. Now, if we look at the media and we look at the majority of the imagery that's coming out of Hollywood and other media outlets of black people, we will see that we are not teaching by example to communicate with each other. And no, Bill Cosby did not shuck and jive, but when is the last time we saw a show that projected a Bill Cosby type image? And I'm responding to something I saw on web chat there, Alan, just so you know.
Oh, you in the chat room?
I'm watching, yes. I'm
hey,
watching,
that
reading.
Room is something else, I tell you, Michelle.
It is.
Okay, let me ask you this. Now, you mentioned you're biracial. I read
mm-hmm.
this article that actually I will credit someone in the chat room, Angry Asian Cookie, otherwise known as Lotus, sent me this article about, great article about multiculturalism. And it was very detailed, very eloquently written. But in a nutshell, the author of the article suggested that, you know, multiculturalism might be overrated in the sense that now this is going to become a status symbol, you know, where people say,
something.
Well,
as a child
your
of the
kid's
80s,
not biracial or not multiracial.
Right.
So.
Right, right. Well, as a child of the 80s, growing up in Indiana as a biracial individual, Alan, I'm sure you can understand what I went through.
I can imagine.
and I have to tell you, to some extent, I feel like there is a resin left in my memory bank that makes me despise seeing black men with white women. And my mother is white. But that has to do with the experiences I had as a biracial child growing up in Indiana and how much it sucked and how I wasn't black enough for the black community. And the white people, they wouldn't even let me be black. They were like, oh, honey, you're not one of them.
You know, it's funny. I hear that a lot from friends and acquaintances of mine who are biracial. They've told me expressed similar sentiments. So, yeah, they kind of feel like stuck between a rock and a hard place.
You are stuck between a rock and a hard place. And then what happens is as you get older, now I work in entertainment, so the more I go out on auditions, the more I realize how black I am, okay? Mm-hmm. The more you realize as you become adult, the more you realize that you're a minority. And then when you're a child, through my experiences, white people don't want to clump you in with the rest of the black American society. But wait till you're an adult. Once you turn 18 and they can arrest you, oh, yeah, you're a nigger. Like, that's the bottom line.
Okay, I got two or three callers waiting, so I'm gonna take a couple calls. Matter of fact, callers, if you want to call into the show, if you're in the chat room listening otherwise, my number, the regulars know it, is 646-478-5710. 646-478-5710. If you're calling in just to listen, please make sure you tell me that right when I open your line, because I know how I have a handful of people that will call in just to listen to the show. They don't really have a question or comment. But if you do have a question or comment, I want you to get right to it. No small talk. I'm, you know, say you are upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger, and then you get to rolling with your question or comment. But before I take a caller, kind of following up on that question, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preached extensively about the idea of racial harmony in this country, equality and justice and respect for men and women of all races and ethnicities. Given that, is it ever appropriate, Michelle, for black women of today to look at Caucasian women, Asian women, or women of other races as being somehow the enemy? I was in a chat room not too long ago, and I heard some sisters call white women the enemy. Is that fair?
Well, you know what? Here's the unfortunate thing. I was listening to an article. We did a show on Females Uncut about women in the boardroom. And I did some research on why we as women pit against each other racially in the boardroom when we're still paid, I want to say, 77 cents to every one man's dollar. Why we're not uniting. Now, what I found out through that research, I'd listened to a couple news articles on NPR radio and read some things, is that, well, we look at each other in negative connotations. And we as black women need to stop just as much as white women and Asian women do. Because according to the reports that I read, what it was discussing was that black women look at white women in the workplace as the enemy, whereas white women look at black women in the workplace as hired help.
Oh,
okay?
Ouch.
And that was in the article. I wish I could source the specific article. That was the verbiage that was used, as hired help. So I think that it's going to take a much bigger regiment than just us as black women. It's all women. Do you know what I mean? Like, at some point, we're going to have to be able to say, look, I'm a woman, you're a woman. We need to look at each other as women. Unfortunately, again, we go back to media and the entertainment industry. We are being programmed to be consumers of the notion that we are different because we're of different color. And the longer that we buy into that consumerism, the longer we'll continue to struggle.
Good points. We're now going to take a couple of callers. I see area code 407. 407, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Do you have a question or comment?
And I'm straightforwardly telling you that I'm sitting here listening. This is Anthony Houston. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Nothing but love.
Okay. Just listen, like I told you, Michelle. Some people just call in to listen.
I love that, though. I love
it. Yeah. So let me see if the next caller is just listening or has a question or comment. Area code 253, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Michelle Hope. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I'm going to give a shout-out to you, AC, and Michelle, fellow Hoosier homegirl. Big shout-out.
How you doing?
This is Urban out in Seattle, Washington. Hey, when I was listening earlier, Michelle, I have to say, this is not my question, but if you bear with me, I was a little confused when you mentioned about the communication part, because I thought, and I still think you were talking about a black male to a black female, and when you mentioned about, and I think it was your own personal experience when you mentioned about using the other male, the male you knew wanted to use technology to communicate with you versus what I thought you meant in person. I actually see that as just a thing now between anybody, male to women. I think just not necessarily a black male to a black female. So I apologize. I wasn't sure what you meant by that. But my question that I actually have for you, since you grew up in Indiana and from a biracial parent, I'm sure between now and then you've dated men of other colors. What is, and particularly a Caucasian male, what would you say the difference is that you found in dating a Caucasian male versus a black male?
Oh, my gosh. And you know what? What I'm about to say is either going to get phone lines lit up or I'm going to be hung up on.
Hey, be controversial, Michelle. That's what this show is about. Get up front, get straightforward.
But through my experience, and it breaks my heart to say this, it truly breaks my heart to say this, because I love black men, and I want a black man to be my king, and I want him to treat me as his queen. And the experience that I have had is that other races really, really put black women on a pedestal when they're with them.
I mean, I'm mad at you for saying that. If that's been your experience,
I'm gonna go as far to say, I have found through my experiences that black men have a tendency to treat black women like dirty dish rags.
Oh, now my phone's about to light up. Dirty dish rag. That's just cold, Michelle. That's just wrong. That's like below the belt. Oh,
well,
man.
Well, you know what? Let me keep – you want me to keep it really real? I'm going to
keep it really real. The realest of
I can, in my mind, think of multiple men who I have been – and you know what? This is one of my girlfriend's terms – the gutter broad for. When that man is down and out, he'll call me. When he has no one to call, he'll call me. But when he's flying high, he will step out with a white woman. Okay?
Okay. So, now let me ask you this, Michelle. Let me ask you this: what type of brothers were you pursuing? What type of brothers were? Now, was you with the thug named Bobo?
Oh no! I'm not that type. I'm the type to find a man.
These were what you thought were classy. Together type brothers.
What? I'm talking Stanford graduates, Berkeley graduates, men that are off in business school at Wharton, doctors, lawyers. I am attracted to very ambitious, highly educated, highly intelligent men. Mm-hmm. Yes, that comes with a little bit of arrogance. You got to accept it. Yes, it comes with a little bit of a sense of entitlement because they're a black man who ain't got no kids and got an education and a good job. Okay, I'm willing to take some of that. But when I see, when I'm there for you, when you're in school and you're pushing a pencil and I'm making you a peanut butter and jelly freaking sandwich to get you through 4 more hours of studying.
See, that's the problem. You should have been cooking some chicken wings. I got to have some chicken wings.
But you get my point. Whether it's peanut butter or chicken wings, I'm here doing what I have to do to get you to the next level, to help you get to the top, and then once you get there, you choose to go with somebody else?
Okay, we're going to take another caller. I actually thought that Tony 407 was just listening. But, Tony, you had a question or comment. What's your question or comment? Hello? Tony 407?
Oh, sorry about that. I was so busy trying to grab the phone, I was stuck on the peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, peanut butter and jelly. That's the way it's sticking you, boy. What's your question or comment, Tony?
That stuck on me for about a second or so. Now, the problem that I have is really based on the fact that I think almost every race would make the same comment that she's making. I bet if you spoke to a lot of women in other ethnic groups, they probably would make the same comment that they've been there with quite a few men that have been there with them within the trenches, and then once they got right, dropped them, and in their mind, they upgraded. Because that's what it sounds like you're saying, that they're basically riding with you while you're ride-or-die status, and then when they get to a particular point, they upgrade in their minds, whatever the case may be.
Right.
I don't know if that's something that's necessarily unique, and you have your show with your other young ladies of different ethnicities. Maybe they agree with you or disagree, but I'd like to believe that other women have the same situation. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, Latino, Asian, whatever the case may be. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'd really like to hear this.
Well, I'm not gonna say you're wrong. Not at all. Not at all. Because all that I speak of is the experiences that I have had or the experiences that I've shared with my girlfriends. Do you know what I mean? And I have very distinct experiences where this has happened. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to diss the black man, because I am not. I love the black man. I love the black man so much. But I'm going to tell you this. My mentor is a fabulous woman. She is an eye doctor, has her own practice. I mean, amazing woman. She's maybe two times my age. But she is my mentor, and she's a black woman. And she told me over dinner, stop wasting your time with black men. Okay.
If you give me a choice between a black woman giving me peanut butter and jelly, a white woman cooking me chicken wings, I'm going with the chicken wings.
And I hate to say peanut butter and jelly, because I cook way more than peanut butter and jelly. I don't even eat that. But, you know, her thing was this, and this is a black woman who's been in many relationships. This is my mentor. She goes, Michelle, I am a woman who loves the black man. She has a room of tolerance in her home, okay? She's got to be one of the most pro-black women I've ever met in my life, but she was like, give up on black men. And here, let me take you one further than that. You ready for this one?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I recently was dating a black man who's a little bit older than me, has a lot more life experience than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And in a conversation he and I had, he was telling me about a college friend of his who, he said, she finally got it together. She just got married and had a baby. Now, she's almost 40. And I was like, really? I said, why'd she wait so long? He goes, she kept fucking with black men.
Oh,
and I was like, what? He's a black man. And I told her to stop messing with black men.
Alan,
I know you got a bunch of callers.
But
let me make one comment, and please don't hang up on me, because like I said, I'm multitasking and listening at the same time. My computer's acting weird. But
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and say just really two quick comments real quick. Michelle, I'm going to throw this comment to my partner, a frat brother, who is a diehard supporter of Sisters, who always says, for every black woman who makes a comment about you know, basically moving away from brothers because of the things that you're saying, he always says, have you dated every black man in America? Until you can say that, you can't turn your back on our brothers, because if you do, who else is going to stand by our side?
Oh, honey, I will never turn my back to a black man. Trust and believe, but I am just telling you what my friends and people close to me are telling me. They're like, honey, give it up because you are just too good. And I'm like, nope, I will not. I will stand proud next to my black man and say, I got your back. And even when you run away from me and you go and you deal with all these other broads, I bet you, you will come back home to me. And then, guess what? Now I'm running things.
Well, Alan, I want to say thank you. I'm going to keep this going here. As a proud black husband to a proud black wife who's looking at me like, please take the dogs out. Please put me on mute, man. I'm going to come back and keep listening and working.
Hey Tony, I'm curious. What frat you in?
I'm a proud member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, the oldest.
Oh,
A-Fi
A in the house. Okay,
that's right,
brother.
Recognize. Thanks.
Thanks.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Michelle.
Coming.
I'm going to please, don't hang up. Put me on mute.
I ain't going to hang up on you. next caller I'm going to take is area code 402-402. You are now up front and straightforward. Alan Roger Curry, my guest from Females Uncut in Los Angeles, Michelle Hope. What's your question or comment?
Alan Curry, thank you for having me on here. My name is Kokai. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska in the house.
That's right. There are brothers and sisters in Omaha, Nebraska, believe it or not.
I know that's right.
Are you a cowboy by chance?
No, cowboy.
Are you
a southern
cowboy?
Boy. I'm a Southern boy at heart.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yes, yes.
So what's your question coming
tonight? I do like to ride horses. I can tell you that, too. But listen, I'm looking at a photograph of Michelle, and you are fine.
Thank you so much.
Look at you blowing up her head, man. She can't even cook chicken wings. She's making peanut butter and jelly. You tell her how fine she is.
Hey, you know, I got to call it like it. I just call it like it is. That's all. But
no,
you know what? Instead of messing around with these college guys, maybe you ought to try a carpenter or a garbage man or something like that. Because maybe when they go to college, you know, that's where they develop all this high and mighty attitude.
But let me ask you a question, though.
Maybe you ought to deal with a brother that's a supervisor at an airport or something like that, you know?
You know what? And I'm not one to discriminate at all. I'm not one to discriminate at all, as long as, you know, you can still make me happy with what I want. And I don't mean that financially. First, I want to put that out there. That is not...
You sure that's not what you mean?
No, it's not.
What do you mean?
Listen. If this garbage man can play chess with me, reads the Huffington Post, meets the press in the morning, Good Morning Meet the Press on Sunday mornings, reads the New York Times bestseller, listens to classical music. Hey, if you do this,
yes.
Great. Wow. Then, you know, let's go out. It's not about the college degree. Unfortunately, the mentality of some of these men that are garbage men, which, by the way, pays very well, and great benefits because you work for the city, okay?
Right.
The thing is that are they going to have the same interests as I do? Will we want to read the same books? One thing that I found, and this crosses all boards, sometimes I have a problem communicating with others because sometimes the vocabulary that I use, sometimes it goes over people's heads. And, you know, I want to be honest with you. That is not to sound snobby.
So you're saying you use too much polysyllabic language for some of the men you interact with, huh?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes. But then again, you know, sometimes not. It just really, really depends on if they're into what I'm into. Like, would you really want to go to the Science and Industry Museum with me to see the newest exhibit of Bodyworks and spend 4 hours walking around cadavers all afternoon?
Okay, Michelle, I hate to cut you off and my brother from Oklahoma, but for the time factor, I got to keep it moving. But I thank you for your question and comment. Got to thank you. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to be bringing on Michelle's co-host, Miss Natasha Dixon. Hey, do you know the area code of the phone line she would be calling from, Michelle?
It will probably be a 323-310-213-626, something of that nature.
Okay, because I'm looking, and I see one California, but it's 818.
Oh, it could be an 818, too, so you might want to go with that.
Just go ahead and list them all, Michelle.
I totally forgot 818. I'm so sorry.
But right now, Michelle, I'm going to let you grab a swig of water.
Okay.
When I come back from this intermission, hopefully we will have Natasha Dixon joining us in this very interesting conversation. But right now I'm going to plug a few shows from the Blog Talk Radio Network. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back with Michelle Hope.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to askdangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at myspace.com/dangerouslee.
Tune in to Touching Millions, hosted by Nikki Woods and Tanya Sherrell. Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio. Be informed, be empowered, be connected. Together we can change the world one life at a time.
Change a life. Change a life.
Touching Millions is brought to you by A Million Women Strong. an organization designed to inform, empower, and connect women all across the globe. For more information, log on to the website, amillionwomenstrong.com.
Change a life, change, change a life.
Touching Millions, Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? This is your radio show host, Nikki Love. And I'm inviting you to come hang out with me on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. where we debate, we motivate, and we have a good time. Come check out the Nikki Love Show, and that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Nikki Love, and that's NICKYLOVE. See you there.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
If you're just now joining me, you are listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. And my guest this evening is Michelle Hope. She's one of the co-hosts on the popular Los Angeles broadcast radio program, Females Uncut. And she has joined me thus far, and we're about to hopefully bring in her co-host, Natasha Dixon. Do I have Natasha on the line?
Yes, I am here. What's up, Alan?
What's up, Natasha?
Michelle, how you doing?
Listen to all that girl talk. Oh my goodness, Natasha! I don't know if you've been listening this far, but
I've been listening. I heard you calling me out, Michelle. You've been holding it down.
Lord, I don't know. Some of the brothers in the chat room say she ain't holding it down because she talking about the brothers treat women like dish rags. Oh my goodness. Okay, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna ask both of you all, starting with you, Natasha. First of all, before I get a question, continue this conversation. Real quickly, I want you to tell my listeners how you both got involved with the show Females Uncut.
Oh, Females Uncut. You guys got to check us out at femalesuncut.com, and we also have a MySpace. I got involved because I have come so far. I didn't have a voice for years, and I finally met someone who gave me that venue. So our producer brought us on, and I totally went in head first, gung-ho, no seatbelt, freight train with no brakes, because it gave me a chance to just talk, you know, to give my opinion about stuff and actually to help encourage and empower women at the same time. And I know Michelle's on the same page as far as empowering people. But that's it in a nutshell.
Michelle, you got any thoughts, Matt, about how you got involved with Females Uncut?
Well, when I had the opportunity presented to me to do Females Uncut, I thought it was a great transition for me because I had been on the road for 2.5 years as a motivational speaker to high school students. And I was kind of, you know, I'm very, very, very edgy, and a lot of times I say some things that people don't like or they do like or they love it, they hate it, they're scared, like, it's so live. But, you know, I wanted to expand into more adult things, and I felt that Females Uncut was the best way for me to get the opportunity to cross over. And you know what? It's been an outstanding experience, and I can attest that Natasha is fabulous. The rest of our girls are fabulous, and you really should tune in. We definitely talk about a lot of controversial things, from topics just like this to porn addiction to jealousy to all kinds of really, really fun stuff. So I encourage people to check us out. It's femalesuncut.com. And, you know, it's an opportunity for us to just talk. And we as women, we talk.
Well, you know what? In that little list there, you had me at porn addiction.
I'm telling you, like, we do it all. We do.
Now, if one of my listeners wanted to listen, say they did not live in Los Angeles. I know you're on broadcast radio in Los Angeles, but if somebody wanted to go to the internet, they can just go to femalesuncut.com.
Yeah, femalesuncut.com, and on MySpace, it's Females Uncut Online.
Okay.
Right. And you can also go to YouTube, because what we've started to do is we've put it more – it started as radio, and now we're becoming more coffee table talk. So you can watch us as we interview our guests or do it. Now, one thing I want to tell all these people that are not in Los Angeles, the best part about not being in L.A. is you have to listen online, which means you get the unedited version, because we have to keep it kind of clean.
Okay. Well, check out this crazy. If you're in L.A. or not in L.A., check them out. Females Uncut. They're produced by a brother I've had a chance to talk to, Kevin Stipe. Real cool brother. He's a brother. See, he's a black man doing his thing. He's cool, ain't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Kevin Stipe. Much props to Kevin Stipe. Okay, now let me ask you, ladies. I'm going to throw some questions. You both can give me answers. Why do many black women complain about the lack of good men, and more specifically, good brothers? But when I'm on message boards and blogs and whatever, I hear a lot of good brothers saying that they're ignored and overlooked. How do you respond to that?
Do you want to go first, Natasha? I'm going to let you.
Yeah, I'll go.
Break it down for me, Natasha. Break it down for me. Make me understand.
I mean, statistically showing, a lot of our black men are in jail.
That's a generalization now.
No, it's not a generalization. Statistically showing, I don't have it in front of me, but statistically showing, a lot of them are in jail. A lot of them are gay. And I think what has happened is people have allowed their perception to be their reality. So say, for instance, a woman is living in L.A. and she's like, there are no good men here. So when she goes out into the world, she just feels there are no good men. And you will get what you are looking for, no good men. And I truly believe that if you believe there is – it only takes one. It only takes one for you.
But check this out, Natasha. I understand what you're saying, and I know there are brothers out there that are just losers, you know, et cetera. I'm not denying that at all. But what I am saying is I socialize. I used to live in your neck of the woods. I come out there still quite frequently, Los Angeles. But now I'm in the Chicago area, and I meet some together brothers who, you know, good jobs, educated, intelligent, articulate, and half of them say the sisters are just ignoring them and overlooking even because they perceive them as too semi-nerdy, too nice. They want the kind of more edgy bad boy. I'm saying, why are sisters overlooking these brothers?
Alan.
Talk to me.
Here's what I say, and Natasha, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
But here's Alan. It goes back to what I said in the beginning. The media is brainwashing us to be consumers of this negative imagery to black people.
Exactly.
We are bombarding ourselves with images of frickin' New York and frickin' Mr. Googly Eyes, Flavor of Love. Okay? We're cooning ourselves on television, basically. And these women out there, and women, I'm so sorry I'm about to say this, but there's a lot of bird brains and boppers out there that will do anything for a dollar.
Yeah.
And
Oh, boy. Okay, before I go back to the phone lines, because now it's lighting up, y'all done take some people off. People gonna call in. And remember, folks, when you call in, I pride myself on being a show that attracts Disney Channel watching folks. Don't be using no X-rated language on my show, no curse words, and curse nobody out. This is a PG-13 family show, and even though Michelle mentioned porn addiction earlier. But before I go to the callers, Natasha, give me three specific characteristics a man can possess that would make you categorize that man as a good man.
I believe he has to be totally confident. Michelle was saying that she wanted a guy who was going to go to the museum with her. If he wasn't too confident on it, read some books.
Thank you.
Then go to the museum with her. Woo her. So I think a man, number one for me, he has to be totally confident. And I believe that a guy has to be satisfied where he is in life. And that is something that is hard for our brothers because they are fighting all the time in the world. And I also believe a guy should treat his woman as a queen. Now, a guy cannot treat his woman as a queen if he is constantly fighting to be king. So my advice to brothers is just be. And I met a guy one time, and he was like, he was in Jamaica trying to talk to this girl, and she was like, oh, uh-uh. And he said, why? He said, because you fight to be king, man. You just be king.
Wait a minute, though. If a sister wants to be treated like a queen, is she willing to treat the brother like a king?
She should be. I'm not talking one-sided here.
Okay. I just
want
to clarify that now.
Because there are
some sisters out here, and I think you know this, there's some sisters out here that want to be treated like queens, but they want to treat the brother like the court jester.
I believe they just don't know how to. And, like, people need to educate themselves. Get some damn counseling. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Preach. Get some counseling.
Preach.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phone lines and see what questions or comments they got for Miss Natasha Dixon, Miss Michelle Hope. Right now, I got 510-510. You are now up front and straightforward. Alan Roger Curry and Natasha and Michelle.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up, Bay Area?
That's me. Hey, Alan, this is Deb, Miss Heartbeat.
What's up, Miss Heartbeat? How you doing tonight?
I've been trying to get through on the phone.
Hey, it's crowded.
Hey,
I got like 55 callers waiting.
Oh, well, let me be quick. Okay, I have to back step a little bit. I wanted to address something that was said earlier about the men of other races treating black women better.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. I do
online
internet advice column. I've been doing it for like 12 years. Mm-hmm. I get letters from all over the world, and I can tell you for a fact that the
mm-hmm.
issues that we say are issues with black men exist in Indian men, German men, Irish men, French men, Italian men. I'm telling you, it's worldwide.
So it's a man thing then.
It is. And I can tell you, this is fact, so I'm not just talking off the side of my neck. This is 10 years plus experience talking.
Mm-hmm.
So what
mm-hmm.
you have is men, there are certain men of any race that respect, admire, and put women on a pedestal. You just happen to run into one of those men who happen to be painted white. You see what
yeah,
I mean?
I agree with you.
And I don't believe that
you can put anyone in a box. That's my thing. You don't put any one person in a box.
Okay.
In one race.
In the box factor, we got the mm-hmm. other issue. I made notes to make sure I stayed on point. The brothers that are in college, you know, the professor brothers with the letters after the name, all this stuff, they know they're in demand. They know they
mm-hmm.
are. They don't
yep.
get settled. They have women that will line up to get with them because every woman wants that man. And the brother called, you know, the brother said, you know, why not try going for just the blue-collar worker? He kind of somewhat has a point because, Michelle, I don't want you to think that just because somebody has a degree that makes him better. And education is one thing, but intelligence is something completely different.
I agree.
You can see a man that has no college degree that is very, very, very intelligent, can articulate, has read books, and has traveled. But maybe he was bored in college. You know, he didn't get
yeah.
the degree. But that
I agree with you. I agree with you very much.
Okay, well, Ms. Harbin, I got to cut you off because, I got all of Eastern Asia waiting to get on the line.
Oh, no problem.
And Georgia and New Orleans. No, but thank you for calling in, Ms. Harbin. Appreciate it.
Okay.
I am going to move on. Huh? Who called my name?
Real quick. Natasha,
uh-huh.
I want to defend my girl, Michelle. The same way
a
guy.
Of course you're
going to
defend your girl, Michelle, because that's your girl, Michelle.
The same way a guy will say, I want a woman who is fine. We're not saying he wants a woman who is fine and ain't got no sense. She's
right.
saying that's just her flavor, you know, an educated guy. She's not going to settle for an educated guy who's dissing her. So it's not, you know, that's not the case. It's not just one-sided.
Right.
Let me throw this out in the mix.
Really quickly, I'm so sorry to cut you off, Alan, but I really want to make this point because what that lady said, yeah, you're right. They are a hot commodity. But let's break it down to just basic evolution.
Okay, break it down, Michelle. Break it down for me.
It's survival of the fittest. These men that have this education, they are the way they are because they are in high demand. Not to mention, and this could be a whole other show, mm-hmm. I don't believe that these men will ever be as faithful as they can be because of the fact that they are at the top of the food chain. It is in their DNA to want to procreate and spread their seed.
Well, I kind of halfway agree with. Well, first of all, I got to capture a comment. You said we can make this another show. Chat room, did you hear that? That's a hint. That means they want a part three because this is already part two. They want a part three to this show. That's right. Chat room, say part three.
I see women getting so mad. Beloveologist, I see you upset. Miss Heartbeat, I see you upset by the comments that I just made. Perhaps it has to do with the comments I just made about, no, that's awful, I can't believe,
Okay, but let me ask you this. You know, along the lines of what you said about being in demand, I once read this article in this magazine. I want to say it was Details Magazine. Anyway, mm-hmm. this author had an interesting thing. Have you ever heard of the I think he called it the 2080 concept, where he said
80%
basically,
good, 20% bad.
He said if you took a random sample of 1,000 single heterosexual men, put them on an island, and 1,000 random single heterosexual women on an island, on paper you would think, of course, they would just hook up one by one.
Nope.
But he said, he theorized that roughly 75 to 80% of the women would gravitate towards the top 20 to 25% of the men.
That was the point I was just making.
Huh?
Yep.
You're absolutely right. You're validating the point I just made. I'm telling you, they're at the top of the food chain. They don't have, and let me tell you, even for myself, someone called and said, oh, she's attractive. Come on now. I live in L.A., and I said this in one of our Females Uncut shows. I said I had a man tell me, you cannot kick a rock in Los Angeles without hitting a badass broad.
Now, that's the truth. I lived in L.A. for 6.5 years.
Okay.
No, that's the truth. But see, what I'm saying is, how come more women don't get that other 75-80% of the brothers who ain't at the top, more love, more attention? Why y'all trying to get that 20% of the top?
It's genetics. It's genetics. When I procreate, I'm trying to think about what my baby is going to look like, how educated he's going to be. Is he going to have teeth? I'm thinking about the Punnett Square here, people.
Yeah, she's talking about a thoroughbred, not the horse that's just walking around.
Oh, see, that's cold. You're calling the rest of the three-fourths of guys just ponies.
I'm not talking about ponies.
They are thoroughbreds to someone else. I think it really depends. Everybody has to connect. You know, they're thoroughbreds to other people. So.
Hey, Natasha, well, I got a question that's going to determine everything. Can you cook chicken wings, or do you settle for peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
No, I can throw down. I cook like my 80-year-old grandmother, and she's from Arkansas. I mean, I cook it all. I cook it from the from
okay,
the
we're going
to
take another caller because I got all these callers waiting. Eric, call 402, are you just listening, or you got a question and comment for us?
I got a comment. If you're talking to me.
Yeah. Oh, wait, this is Oklahoma, right?
No, this is Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, I mean, yeah, okay, I already got you. I'm sorry, brother.
I'm sorry.
We got to go to 818-818. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What is your question or comment?
Well, Alan, someone asked me to call in your show. It's Pearl Jr. How
you doing? Oh, Lord, Pearl Jr., Miss Controversial herself. Oh, Lord, we got Pearl Jr. now. Pearl Jr. is a young lady I met when I had a book signing. We were both co-book authors for a book signing in California. She wrote a book called Black Women Need Love Too. And we first got into a heated debate before the book signing, but then when we met each other, we had nothing but love. But what you got to say tonight, Pearl Jr.?
I'm just listening. Yes.
Oh, you're just listening. Okay.
Yes.
Now, Natasha and Michelle, Pearl Jr. is from your neck of the woods. She's out there in L.A. She does radio. Very, very, she speaks her mind, and that's an understatement. Okay, 803, you are now up front and straightforward. Alan Roger Curry and my guest tonight, Miss Natasha Dixon and Miss Michelle Hope. What's your question or comment?
Well, I have a comment more so because this is Maverick who's been blasting chat.
Oh, Maverick, hardcore Maverick. Okay, I see you in the chat room making noise.
Look, I feel that what a lot of these ladies talk about are pointless and baseless. I mean, it's more of a rant than anything else. Instead of me trying to pose a question, all this stuff, I'd just rather point out my opinion at all.
Okay.
I just find it pointless and baseless because it just like a personal rant more than anything else.
Okay.
If you got a problem with an educated man who doesn't come up to snuff with you, then why don't you try the guy who may not be as educated? Look, you got just as big of a loser who's got a PhD as you do without a PhD.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of you figuring out who that person's going to be.
Okay.
Now, my personal theory is with a woman, since I've been married going on nearly 15 years, the choice that I made was someone that I would be willing to bring home to my family. Okay? And I think that then that's what I'm trying to raise my daughter. You bring home somebody who you would not be ashamed of bringing to my house.
Okay. Now, Maverick, while I got you on the line, I'm going to ask you this question, then I want to ask the two young ladies this question. What are you – how old is your daughter?
My daughter's 10, but I'm already teaching her things as it is now.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you, you know, I always hear a lot of shows, TV, radio, they're always talking about how men should be raised, how men should be brought up to treat women. But very few show hosts and other people talk about how women should be raised to treat men. What are you telling your daughter about treating men?
Well, first of all, it starts with the relationship between the daughter and the father.
Absolutely.
Now,
absolutely
if there's no relationship there, then, you know, you got a problem because you really won't know how to talk to a man. And that's a problem there. Because a lot of young women, they've seen their mother yell at men, curse at them and all that stuff, and they grow up yelling and cursing at them. Okay? And it's almost like it's just second nature for them to do it.
Absolutely. I agree with
you. Yeah, I totally agree.
So, Michelle and Natasha, what did you learn from media, father, uncles, brothers, about how to treat men and show them respect?
Ooh.
I can tell by the hesitation, not much, huh?
No, girl, you go first. You go first. You know you need to go first because you know where I'm about to go.
Go there with me, Natasha. I'm challenging you. Go there.
Okay. I learned from trial and error, and I happened to learn late in life. I think for me personally,
you took a lot of bumps along the way.
Yes, I did. But for me personally, I was not the angry black woman. I chose the Stepford wife role, where you just conform to what you think they want because of a lack of self-esteem or a lack of self-confidence. And I say, ladies, get that counseling before you try to find that man, because if you are not in a healthy position, you will attract an unhealthy relationship for yourself. So it's very important that fathers have relationships with their daughters. I mean, the statistics are alarming with kids who come from fatherless homes. The dropout rate is it's all over like 70%. You got your dropouts, you got your drugs, you got your rapists. They all, like 70 to 80% come from fatherless homes. So that what you're doing with your daughter, I commend you because that's very important. But I think, I believe I learned from trial and error and also in my later years now.
Well,
and yes, my father is in my life. And we have a wonderful relationship as I've gotten older, and he has, you know, showed me some things as I've gotten older. So that's where I learned.
Okay. Well, Maverick, thank you for calling in. I got to move on because we've got so many callers, but I appreciate you contributing to this conversation. Let me ask you two young ladies real quick.
Yes.
Well, first of all, you kind of implied it, Michelle, with the garbage man, but I'm going to ask both of you just straight out. If you would say making $150,000 a year or more, and you met a brother who was together, you know, but he was only making, say, you know, $50,000-$60,000 a year, you going for him?
Hell yes. And let me tell all these people in the chat room, next time y'all are in L.A. and you want to get a real meal, come over. I don't just cook peanut butter and jelly, okay? You want a steak? Come over. I'm so sick of this because she's feeding
these.
Why are
you focusing on that? Why?
Girl, I don't know. I have no idea.
I'll take some of the guilt. I was picking on Michelle about her peanut butter and jelly. I know Michelle's probably a great chef. Let me ask you another question. Some people have suggested that one of the best places for a black man to meet a black woman and vice versa is in the church. But then you got to factor in the fact that the Down Low author, I want to say his name is J.L. King, said that most Down Low brothers hang out in the church. So in your experience, look, have you met at least one brother that you would recommend to a sister that you would say, now, this brother was quality? Give me an example of a guy, one brother you had to meet that was quality.
I can go from there. Well, first of all, we do on our show every week, we do a Bachelor of the Week. and we don't segregate. We all colors, creeds, but I actually search out here in Los Angeles great bachelors, great men.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are a lot of great places to meet great men. I have worked in entertainment for some time. I've worked in nightclubs for some time. And I've met men in some really random places. I wouldn't suggest the bar to be the best place to meet somebody and think you're going to have a great time, but it's a possibility. Always keep your eyes open. You may be in the grocery store. You may be at the library. You may be at the store. Again, Natasha, I want to kind of piggyback on something you said. You attract what you exude. So, ladies.
Exactly.
In other words, Michelle, when you were attracting all these, you know, you said doctors and lawyers who was kind of dogging you out, what were you exuding?
Here's the thing. I know it's okay. He can go there. I'm not even mad. Here's the thing. I anticipate a certain type of behavior from those men because of what I told you about. They're a hot commodity. They're a part of that 20%. That's by default. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not that I will tell you right now, yes, I exude a little bit of arrogance because I believe I am the shit.
Well,
okay?
Hey, this is a PG-13 show. You just lost my Disney Channel watching.
I apologize, but I don't know who Cult True First is or Cool True First.
Now, Michelle, you're going to have to quit paying attention to the chat room because you're getting riled up looking at my chat room.
But you know what, though? My feathers are ruffled just because I feel that people, number one, aren't understanding what I'm saying to them.
Everybody understands you, girl.
I don't really care, but I exude confidence. I'm a beautiful woman. I walk with grace. I believe I've been ordained by the good Lord. I am blessed. I carry that with me. That is why I'm able to attract these men, but no one is perfect, not even myself.
Yeah.
I have 20% of low self-esteem, negative thoughts, man-haterisms. I have that in me, cheaterisms. I have all that in me. So I expect other people to have it too. Now, I'm not saying these men dogged me out. No, I don't want you to think that at all, okay? But what I am saying is that no one is perfect. And
yeah,
a lot
no
of times,
one's perfect.
And when you have so many options and you've got so much going for you, guess what? Guess what? There's going to be a little bit of them acting arrogant.
Okay, I'm going to take this caller. I'm going to take another caller, area code 240. 240, you are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Natasha and Michelle. What's your question to comment? Hello?
Texas, is that you?
240? Going once, going twice. Okay. Eric Cole, 347. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
First thing, Brother Curry, I've been a long-time fan, bro, and I respect you 100%. Putting
well,
it down.
I appreciate that.
I managed to put my show just like your show, but I'm here in New York on FM one night a week, and I can't dare go where you go all the time, but I follow you religiously, brother.
Well, I appreciate that, brother.
I wanted
What's your question comment for Michelle or Natasha?
My issue, or I guess comment, is that I consistently interview people like Pearl, and I love Pearl, and I respect Pearl.
Yeah.
I do not respect, however, the constant badgering of black men that comes out of the West Coast. There was a sister, I'm not sure if you met her or heard about her, but she developed a website called boycottblackmen.com.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous to
that's
me.
That's garbage. Whoever that is garbage.
I'm talking. Yeah. See, that's why I'm talking. I'm just trying to say something. The thing that consistently comes out of the West Coast, me, is that either the brothers out there are not doing their part, but not all black men aren't conscious. There's a group of us called Black Men Empowering Neighborhoods, B-Men BookClub.com. We meet online. It's about 50 of us meet online once a week, and we talk about what the sister just talked about as far as the different museums we can take our kids to, the different events we can do. There are brothers out here. The thing that I consistently get is that sisters constantly look at, quote-unquote, what they think they need versus looking inside and saying, what exactly will fulfill me as a woman? And I
Can
think
I
that's...
I have to
interrupt because everyone's generalizing. And what you guys are complaining that women are doing, you are doing yourself. You're saying sisters are constantly doing this and sisters are constantly doing that.
But you did some generalizing too, Michelle, now earlier. Come on now. Be fair.
No, I do not generalize. This is Natasha speaking. I do not generalize.
Well, somebody generalized all of us as black men. Somebody said that the brothers that go to college and she needs to have a certain type of male that if she could find a garbage man that did this and did that. And I was raised by a garbage man that collected antiques, and we took those antiques and went to Canal Street and we sold it to the top 100 white families that lived on the Upper West Side and East Side. Because you're a garbage man. Your conscience. I mean,
she is one black woman. She is one black woman. She's one black woman. So to throw
everything from the West Coast. Okay, let me ask this question to Natasha and Michelle. There's been a lot of, in conversation like this, that's the big thing. There's been a lot of generalizations, and it's kind of inevitable with a conversation like this. So let me ask you, what generalization have you heard? I'm going to go with each gender. What generalization have you heard of your own gender that you tended to think was true? And what generalization of the opposite gender have you heard that you tended to think was true?
I don't think any generalization is true. I believe this is Natasha speaking. I believe every individual is an individual, because I could be the queen of black men ain't nothing, because every single black guy I dated cheated on me. But I don't believe that. I just happen to make bad choices. I take the responsibility. You know what I mean? So I don't believe that. And then they say black women are angry. I don't believe I have seen black women. I had a white girl tell me this. Let me tell you. I had a white girl. She had black girlfriends. She said, my black girlfriends in college, they have to worry about everything. They have to worry about their finances. They have to worry about how, you know, their school. They have to worry about this. But all my white girlfriends, daddy takes care of this. So we walk around smiling when my black girlfriends might be intent on thinking, like not being present, and people think she's angry. But that's not the case. They just got so much stuff going on in their lives. And a white girl told me this. So I don't believe any type of generalization. I believe every individual is an individual. I will never put black men in a box. I love black men. I will never say black women are angry, because I don't believe all black women are angry. I don't believe it. I do believe that black men and black women, we have a lot of stuff to carry. We have a lot of stuff on our shoulders. I can't generalize. No.
Okay.
Hey, 347, for the sake of time, I'm going to have to. What was your first name, brother?
This is Martin Johnson of Urban Literary Radio. I'm on.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for contributing to this conversation. And the chat room thinks stuff is getting, the conversation has been going from lighthearted to heated. Hey,
good
radio.
Can I say something or no? I don't know.
You can say something right when I come back.
Fabulous.
From this intermission in about 2 minutes, and then you can just. Was that Michelle just talking?
Yes, sir.
See, sometimes your voices now sound alike to me. So
they do sound alike. I was noticing that, yes. So.
But yeah, we're going to be right back, listeners. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerous Lee Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to askdangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at myspace.com/dangerously.
Tune in to Touching Millions, hosted by Nikki Woods and Tanya Sherrell. Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio. Be informed, be empowered, be connected. Together we can change the world one life at a time.
Change a life. Change a life.
Touching Millions is brought to you by A Million Women Strong, an organization designed to inform, empower, and connect women all across the globe. For more information, log on to the website, amillionwomenstrong.com.
Change a life. Change a life.
Touching Millions, Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio.
Woo!
What's up, everybody? This is your radio show host, Nikki Love. And I'm inviting you to come hang out with me on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. where we debate, we motivate, and you have a good time. Come check out the Nikki Love Show, and that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Nikki Love, and that's N-I-C-K-Y-L-O-V-E. See you there.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. You are listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. And what we're talking about is the growing rift between single black men and single black women in today's dating scene. And to talk about this, I invited two lovely young women from Los Angeles' popular broadcast radio show. It's entitled Females Uncut, and their names are Michelle Hope and Natasha Dixon. Now, Natasha, you were, if I'm not mistaken, you were a cast member of the movie Diary of a Tired Black Man, correct?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, matter of fact, I had Tim Alexander on my show. He's one of my first guests on my show.
Yeah,
what did you think about the storyline of that and how that played out?
It was the hardest character for me to identify with, only because or reach down in and bring that character up. It was very hard because I used to be that person, and where I would see a black guy with a white girl and the hair on the back of my neck would stand up, I would still smile and say hi like no one would ever tell. But that bothered me, and one day I was like, okay, this is unhealthy. Like, I'm really concerned about these strangers on the road. So I was like, God, Lord, just go on and take that away. And actually, I don't feel that anymore. For some reason, it just went away. And so for me to have to go there in that character where I'm, like, mad because he brought a white girl to the house, cussing, acting a fool, that is, like, so not me. So that was the hardest thing I had to do. But the beautiful thing about that is it brought people together to talk about the issues. It brought some men who said, you know what, my image of black women is distorted. I know all black women aren't like that. It brought some women writing saying, you know what, I am that angry black woman. I had someone say, I am that angry white woman. And I don't want to be like that to my husband, so thank you for painting that picture. So it was a very interesting experience, very interesting for me. And right now I have a project called deadbeatdads.tv. It's also on YouTube. It's Deadbeat Dads. And people think that I'm that angry person, but I'm like, hey, I was writing a one-woman show, and that was a snippet of my life, and that is something that a lot of women feel. And it's one of those situations where it gets people to talk about stuff, and I think any movie such as Diary of a Tired Black Man that gets people to address issues and talk about things are so real. But I also feel like we are talking about surface stuff, because if we want to go way back, we can go back to Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch, who pitted the black man and the black woman, the black families, the light skin, the dark skin, away from each other. I mean, against each other. We could go way back. You know, this is just surface stuff we're talking about here.
True,
Willie Lynch
true.
Was no joke. He was no joke.
Now let me ask you this. Michelle, earlier, you, and I'm going to get to you callers in a few. I see 718-240-219 and 832. So I'm going to get to these callers in a second. But I think, Michelle, you mentioned about the impact of media. And a lot of people in different articles, magazines, shows have talked about various forms of media and entertainment, the effect it potentially has on our behavior and our relationships. What's your thought? I remember when the whole Imus thing broke, Oprah did a show about how hip hop
has affected
you know, the perception of women, and particularly black women. Natasha and Michelle, what are you, both of your thoughts on the impact of hip hop and or rap? Is it a valid criticism? Is it an overblown criticism?
Okay, I'm going to take this one, Natasha, if you don't
mind. Yeah, definitely. It's totally valid.
Both of you to answer ultimately. But go ahead,
okay. You know, a couple things, and I'm going to try to wrap this up because I'm going to have to step out and, you know, step away and, you know, from the show because I have some other things I need to do. But a couple things. When it comes to music, remember I had mentioned I traveled as a motivational speaker to high school students and middle school students?
Yeah.
It would kill you. The way that they know this music, this hip-hop music, and they don't know their own black history. I learned from my experiences traveling. I was at a different high school every day and a different city every week. I probably saw over 50,000 students in an 18-month period, 18 to 24-month period, okay? And that's from Seattle, Washington, down to Hawaii. You know, I would go into schools predominantly black, 90% black, and say, who here can tell me who Huey Newton is? And the kids would look at me like I was crazy. And then I'd say, who here is on the free breakfast and lunch programs? The whole entire class would raise their hand. But they didn't know who Huey Newton was. But I'll be a tinker's darned if they couldn't give you all of T-Pain's lyrics to his last songs. Okay.
Yeah, that's the education. That's the problem with education.
I mean,
I agree with some of that point, but Alan, that kind of went off on a tangent. But I'm saying, listen, let me finish. Okay.
Okay. Think about how women are portrayed in these songs.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many follicular radio stations that are playing music like, I'm in love with a stripper, she rockin', she rollin', she poppin'. Do you know what that does to a 14-year-old's mind? Because the mind is not able to know the difference between what it's told and what is real. So if you tell and you color the strip club a beautiful pink for a little girl and you've got songs on the radio and the media is telling you sex sells, wear these kind of clothes, I'm in love with a stripper, you know, or and then the videos that show these really pretty girls with boxes and boxes of money and money flying through the air, you have to understand what that does to the mentality of that young man. He no longer has respect for the black woman because he doesn't have to. T-Pain doesn't do it. The football players don't do it. All of his role models are not respecting black women. So what are we to expect here? We don't have anybody as a black man saying, love your black woman more. Kiss her more. I mean, we have some R&B singers, you know, that do that. We have some artists, but more than not, we find music that degrades us as women, that tells us to bounce our little booties.
But okay, let me ask you, though. Let me ask you this question. Now, you two work in the entertainment industry. Why are these women taking these roles? And don't just say it because they need the money. Why are they accepting roles as video vixens?
Because they're hungry for fame. They think that if they get on a video, they think that if they do enough videos, they're going to turn into Vita Guerrera.
So in other words, it's just as much the women are contributing to this as much as the men are.
I wouldn't. But here's the problem. I'm sorry to cut you off again because I really have to go. Here's the problem. Men are the ones creating these roles, and men are the ones in powers of positions. They're not giving us the opportunity to play strong women. Again, it goes back to the manipulation of media. The media tells us what we are to believe, and we buy into it. So when the media or when we as American people, I had this discussion with somebody, when we start boycotting these companies that are paying for advertisements on stations like BET, during when they play these nasty videos, when we start boycotting those companies, we'll start seeing programming change. And then we'll start seeing a nation that cares about each other a little bit more and respects each other a little bit more. But until then, hey, let's keep it going the way it's going.
Well, listeners, we all, of course, want to thank Michelle Hope for stopping by. She has a busy schedule, so she's going to have to take off. But, Michelle, I thank you for going verbally toe-to-toe with myself as well as my listeners. And continued success to you on Females Uncut.
Thank you so much. I want
and
everybody.
We might have you back for a part three in the near future.
And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give myself a plug. If any of you out there are on MySpace, you can go ahead and look me up. It's just myspace.com/myspace.com/ my name, Michelle Hope. I look forward to speaking with some of you. I'm sure some of you have some more things you'd like to say to me. Please.
Oh, yeah, girl. They're tearing you up.
I'm sure they are. Everybody needs a hater, so bring it on. You can email me.
Don't pick on her too much about the peanut butter and jelly. I was just messing with Michelle.
And you know what,
Alan?
Alan, if any of your people, listeners, want to email me or whatever, you know, we can figure out a way that they can send me emails and their comments, their questions, whatever. Be a hater. And the final thing I'm going to say, because someone made mention to this, everybody wants to make references, if I exude a confidence that successful black men are attracted to, if they want me to be their trophy wife or if they think I am what they're looking for, please don't hate on me because I attract successful black men. If a garbage man wants to approach me, please, garbage man, come on through. We can
you
go to dinner.
Michelle, you know that.
I'm just saying. And everybody have a blessed and wonderful evening. God bless, and I look forward to talking with you again. Okay, Alan?
Okay, Michelle.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye, girl. Take care.
Later, Natasha.
Bye.
Okay, Natasha, it's just
Alan.
Me and you now. You ain't got your girl to back you up.
You know what?
I'm going to light you up,
boy.
I'm going to light you up.
That's what you think. That's what you think, dog.
Okay, well, we're going to take some more callers, Natasha. And
let's
start
take some
with
callers.
Area code 718. Area code 718. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Natasha Dixon. What's your question?
What's going
coming? 718?
718.
These people not talking. Okay, I got to lose you. I got area code 240. 240, you're up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Alan. This is Lotus. How are you?
Hello, Lotus. How are you?
Hey, I am doing fine. I've been listening to your show. It's pretty awesome. And you definitely need to have a part three because this discussion is so interesting. And I wanted to make a comment. Earlier on, Michelle had mentioned something about dating and how we communicate and the new media means that we have, like text messaging and so on and so on. And I think that people also forget that 90% of the communication is through body language. So, you know, when you have a boyfriend or you have a love interest like I have somewhere far away in L.A. and I'm in D.C., it's very hard to connect or to read between the lines, you know, so to speak. So that's one comment that I wanted to refer back to that Michelle
mm-hmm.
made. I agree with her on that. Secondly, when we were talking about being treated like a queen, I love to be treated like a queen. I love to treat my man like a king.
Yeah.
Yes, so, and I'll do that, but I would love to be the neck, and I mentioned that in the chat room too. The guy can be the king, like a lion, and I would like to be the neck because the neck makes the head turn from left to right, so he can be the head of the household or in a relationship, but let me be the neck, and we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Yeah, and that totally goes back to communication. I feel you on that. That goes
mm-hmm.
back to communication and each person respecting the other. And I think the problem that people have is no one is willing to step out. Everybody's scared. Everybody's afraid to take that first stance. The girls who are hating on the brothers are afraid to be nice because
mm-hmm.
the brothers, you know, are still being mean, and the brothers are afraid to be mean because they think they're going to have a black woman who's angry. I think people need to just risk it, be willing to risk
mm-hmm.
it all to gain everything. And
exactly.
that's the problem people have. They're scared. Stop being scared and change your perspective. Be the neck,
agree.
Girl. Be the neck. Be the neck.
I'm trying
I know,
to follow
know,
this. Be the neck.
Neck.
Is it,
be the neck. You know, the neck.
The neck.
You know, the man can be the head. Oh, in the relationship, he can make, you know,
oh,
make certain decisions.
But,
you know, let us women be the neck. Let us be the neck because the head cannot do without the neck. What is the head without the neck? The neck makes the head turn.
Yeah, I've seen some brothers now walking around. It looks like they ain't got no neck now. So we need to hook some of them brothers up here because, boy,
yeah.
there's some brothers walking around without no neck. And, but, Lotus,
yeah.
thank you for calling in and
yes,
contributing
sure,
to our conversation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look out for my book. I have a book coming out. It's called The Garden of Memories.
The Garden of Memories?
Mm-hmm.
When is that coming out?
It's coming out within months, and I'm trying to promote my book. And it's I write poetry. If you can see it on my website, and it's mostly about love. And it's
If it got something to do with dating and relationships, I have to have you on my show as a guest, Lodi. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for calling in, and you have a great day. Continue to listen and tell some of the other people in the chat room to go ahead and call in too, and with their questions and comments for Miss Natasha Dixon. Before I take a couple more calls, let me ask you a couple questions, Miss Sassy Natasha Dixon.
No, I'm ready.
Now, in our part one, we were talking about some sisters seem to have an adverse reaction to the whole notion of being submissive to a man. You know, it's almost like that word was almost like some kind of blasphemous term. So I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on the idea of a woman, and in particular a black woman, being submissive to her man?
One, I think it's taken out of context. You're submissive to your man, but also your man is submissive to God as well. I mean, I'm going to have to throw the Bible out there. I'm sorry.
Throw it out there.
But it, I believe it's taken out of context. And I think when it's taken out of context, people think being submissive to a man who doesn't have the woman's best interest in mind. And I believe that a man, people who are in a healthy relationship have each other's best interests. And that goes back to your initial choices. And if you're not in a healthy place, you're going to choose somebody unhealthy, and therefore you're not going to trust their choices, or you're going to choose somebody you knew you weren't supposed to be with, and you definitely wouldn't trust their choices. But if it's somebody who's aligned with what's going on in your life, you know it's somebody you were supposed to be with, they have your best interests at heart, you can totally trust that and submit. And I'm sorry, but you're only supposed to submit to your husband, not your boyfriend, or not the guy, you know, the guy who's taking you out on a date. And I'm not saying be a crazy raving lunatic. I'm just saying when it comes to the term submission, it is for a husband and wife. So,
well, speaking of that, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I hear a lot of women, not only just sisters, this goes beyond sisters, this goes to just women, period, but since we're focusing on sisters, a lot of sisters talk about, well, I dated this guy, and, you know, we had good sex, but he was cheating on me. My boyfriend was cheating on me. Now, since you went ahead and threw the Bible out there, God doesn't acknowledge any type of boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. Why are so many women agreeing to have casual premarital sex when they know the risk is that guy is going to dump them, cheat on them, play on them?
They're looking for validation. A lot of women are looking for validation. And I hate to say it, but a lot of women in the black community come from fatherless homes, and they're constantly looking for daddy. But when a woman hasn't been validated her entire life, she's looking for validation. And it's sad because one of the things that my reasoning back in the day why I was kind of, I guess, the hair on the back of my neck stood up when I saw a black guy with a white girl was because it seemed to be a confirmation that I wasn't good enough, you know, and that was before counseling. I got a BC and an AC for my life. But I think that a lot of women are looking for validation, and that's why they're throwing the poo nanny out there. You throw that poo nanny out there.
Hey,
you
use my term, Natasha. I'm known for saying poo nanny because that's what I say on my PG-13 show, poo nanny.
I'm trying to keep it Disney.
That's right, because I got a lot of Disney Channel watching people listening to my show. But we're going to take another caller, area code 219-219. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Ms. Natasha Dixon. What's your question or comment?
Yes, Ms. Dixon.
Yes.
Throughout the show, Michelle and you have discussed the role of media impacting the culture.
I believe it's a number of things. So go ahead.
But I wanted to know your views as far as the obvious success and almost authenticity of the relationship between Senator Obama and his wife. What do you think that will do? Even if, for instance, they don't make the White House, what do you think the significance of this one wonderful union will have on the urban community.
I believe it'll have an amazing significance, but it is just a glimpse into one moment in time. I believe it's amazing for our children to see them as an example, because more children are not, they're not exposed to that, and they need to be exposed to that, you know. So I think that Obama and his wife will have an amazing significance as far as giving someone, if there's one kid sitting at home watching that on television and it impacts their lives, I think that the mission is accomplished. But I do believe it'll affect more than one child. It affects more than one adult. Adults look at that and say, wow, black people do have good relationships. Because even in commercials, I'm in entertainment, even in commercials, me and my son watch TV and we're always complaining that they have the wife, the black wife sitting over there going, when he's doing something. Like she always has an attitude with her man. And I'm like, no, there's tons of black women who dote on her man and love her man in every sense of the word. And the media really plays that huge role in showing that negative, you know, that negative relationship. So I think Obama and his wife are amazing, but it is just one moment in time. I think it is important that we begin to change the face of the media and put more glimpses of our reality into the media. We have to.
Would you say an offshoot of what you just said is pretty evident? For instance, we're starting to see more pundits who come from highly educated backgrounds, who might be even of a Republican persuasion, but they're able to express themselves with concise, cogent ideas that really expose the rest of the country to a broader sense of what the black community is all about.
I mean, I think that when someone steps out in front of the media, they have a huge responsibility. And I do believe that one person does not represent our community. It's not one person who represents our community. So it's very important that the people who want to have a voice, that we actually step up and find a way to get into the limelight, because we may disagree with that person. We may totally disagree. You know, and if you have, like, it sounds to me like you're well-educated and you have a mission in life, you know, if you have that mission, it's very important for you to step up. Find a way to make it happen. Find a way to make it. I always tell my friends, like, we're complaining, you know, Boys in the Hood is not our story. We're from middle class. But guess what? It's our responsibility to write it. We can't keep complaining. So I think that showing a variety of black people is better than not showing it at all. It's way better than just what they see on the news in the evenings.
Thank you, 219.
Thank you so much.
Now, we were talking about, you know, the whole idea of being submissive, and you were suggesting that that should only be limited to a husband-wife relationship. Now, one of the complaints, I hear, of course, complaints from black men about black women about black men, and one of the complaints, valid or invalid, that I received from some of the brothers is that sisters want to control the relationship. They want to run stuff. And what I want to ask you is, do you think it's possible for a couple to have a long-lasting, totally monogamous relationship full of romantic and erotic passion if the woman is the leader in the relationship?
I think long-term, it's only if these people are being true to themselves. So there's always – you're going to have men who aren't necessarily leaders, and that's just a given. I believe most men have it in them, but there are some men who are not leaders. So if these people are true to themselves when they get in the relationship, and a guy who just happens to not be a leader, likes someone to take control, gets with the woman who does, they will I think they can make it work. But if they're lying to each other, like if the woman's with the guy wanting him to step up and he needs to have a voice and do this and do that, they're going to have problems. Or if a guy gets involved with this woman and goes, you know what, she needs to submit, but I'm with her and she needs to submit, they're going to have problems. But if they're true to themselves, if they're true to responsibilities, I believe the traditional way is the man is the leader of the relationship. But I also believe there are so many other dynamics. And I talk about submitting to husband and wives. by no means do I mean that you don't compromise in life. I don't want people getting it, you know, mixed up. But you do compromise in relationships sometimes. You know, I'm not saying you just stand your ground saying, I ain't submitting till I get a ring. You know, I'm not saying all that. Mm-hmm. But as far as the term submission, that is husband and wife. But you do compromise in life. But I think that if you have a relationship where the guy is not the leader, it's only going to work if these people in this relationship are true to themselves and are not lying, which a lot of people do when they get into relationships. They lie up front because they're so want to be in a relationship, and they just lie. So then they always have problems because each person is trying to change somebody. Stop trying to change people. Just be you. Just be you, all your shortcomings, your crazy quirks, you're tripping over stuff, you're stumbling over words, you're using the wrong definitions. Just be you, and that person will love you for who you are. And if they don't, they can move on.
We're going to take another caller, 832, area code 832. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and guest Natasha Dixon. What's your question or comment?
Mr. Curry, what's happening?
What's happening?
Yeah, hey, bro, you got a real good show on tonight. I'm sorry, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to the other lady, Michelle. But my question is that when do you think, Michelle, that
no, this is Natasha.
Natasha, I'm sorry, Natasha.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that a older brother is allowed to date a sister that's half her age, and what do you think about that? Ms. Kerr, I host a show on Blog Talk Radio called The Dave Jones Show.
Okay, but I'm not understanding your question. What did you say about the age?
She wants to know if an older brother, this is my interpretation, if an older brother is allowed to date a woman half, a sister half his age, I think that if y'all are working it out, work it out. You know, I don't know. I have no, that sounds like a counseling question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how that relates to the whole rift between sisters and brothers. What does the age thing got to do with anything?
I guess the age doesn't have anything to do with it.
I think age doesn't, but maturity may. Maturity may, and people being pliable. I think in life, when you're 90 years old, you should still be pliable, meaning open to suggestion, open to adjust to situations. And usually some people who are older may not be open for those suggestions and may be set in their ways and want to find somebody that they can train and work in their system. And if that's who you are and you find a young girl to train her and she's willing to be trained, go right ahead. But and I know people are going to take that comment and just screw it up.
Hey,
but, I believe age is just a number. Age is just a number.
Now, you know, I'm part one of this discussion, which, of course, you and Michelle were not a part of, it primarily centered on many black women, not all black women, but many black women's displeasure with brothers dating outside the race, dating primarily Caucasian women and to a lesser extent Asian women, Hispanic women.
See,
what were you going to say?
Go ahead. I was going to say my problem is when a brother says, I don't date black women. That's the problem. I believe that you fall in love with who you fall in love with. It would be beautiful if it was, you know, two black people just because, you know, you preserve the race or whatever. But I truly believe love is colorless, and you fall in love with whoever you fall in love with, who treats you right and does you right. I'm not into just you only date inside your race type of thing.
Now, you were in that scene. And Diary of a Tired Black Man, where all you sisters was like, I can't believe he drove up here with a white girl.
Oh, yeah.
Now, have you been in situations where life was imitating art? Were you around a bunch of sisters?
No, like I said, you know, there were times when I would be out and I would see a brother with a black girl, with a white girl, and he wouldn't even get eye contact with you. And maybe it could be two reasons. It could be because, like, when you're in a position as a black woman and you see that, it seems to add that you aren't good enough. You know, if you're not in a good place, you will feel like you're not good enough. But then it could have been because he had bad experiences with black women hating, so he wasn't even going to give me the eye contact, you know? So now even when I run into that, I'm just who I am. I talk to everybody. And I do see sometimes brothers won't even look at you. Like they'll be walking with a girl and won't look at you, and it's like they're scared, and it may be their experience, or it may be because they've totally disconnected themselves from the black woman. And I can't speak for them. I don't know. I can't, you know, put the words in their mouth.
Now let me ask you a kind of lighthearted, tricky question. And let's say you have an attraction for just these two brothers. Nobody else on earth, just these two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them got a lot going, you know, good jobs, intelligent, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, brother number one, he is the best sex partner you've ever had in your life, ever.
Okay.
I mean, the most mind-blowing orgasms you've ever had in your life. But you know from his hearing from his ex-girlfriend, some of his friends, that his flaw is that he more than likely has a propensity to cheat. Then you got another brother. Again, he got a lot going for him. But his one flaw is that he's at best slightly above average in bed. Who are you going for?
I believe that you can train every dog.
Saying if a guy's a notorious womanizer, he can be trained.
I don't want to refer to men as dogs, so scratch that. I just believe that everybody can be trained, and I think you can train the guy who's above average to be a little bit better. Because at some point, somebody about to be impotent. And if you want your relationship to revolve around sex, you're going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You will have a problem. So I think, I'm not saying I don't want a guy who's good in bed, mm-hmm. by no means. I think we all want someone who's balanced. But I'm not picking the cheater. You know, I will be honest with you. I did that for the first half of my life because cheaters were the ones who approached me. I was too afraid. Like, the nice guy never approached me. And I was too afraid to step out and approach the nice guy. So the ones who approached me were cheaters. So that's who I dealt with, cheaters. And
just say, well, I'm going to be real with you. You know, a lot of women I know, I have a lot of, you know, female friends. Matter of fact, a lot your way, and still in L.A. since I used to live there. And once we get to talking, they would admit when I say, you know, why'd you mess with so-and-so, you know?
Because he was good in bed.
And they say, well, he had this flaw, he had that flaw, but damn, he used to put it down. He was
lean. Yeah. I mean, we can get, I can totally understand that. And if we really get technical, when you have sex, you do something that is called a soul tie. So women, when you're having sex with a guy and you're wondering when he's not calling you, why you feel sick to your stomach, that is why. I guarantee if someone is not having sex with a guy, you will be able to break it off a lot quicker and a lot easier. You won't have that ripping of your soul when you break it off with dude you've been sexing up. Don't get it twisted. You know, I've been in those situations. And that's why I can speak from this perspective.
Well,
but that's what's going on. And these women, I believe, they just don't know their value. And I think that it's become this standard amongst the dating scene. You know, stand your ground. If anybody is listening who's on that borderline of sex or no sex, stand your ground. If you're deciding you don't want to do this, you know, you want to be celibate and you don't want to, I say stand your ground. If you're free, go on until you wear out. I'm like a Bentley. They don't let you test drive a Bentley. You know what I'm saying? And I think women
Well, she said if you're a freak next week, we're going to have Alexis K. Tyler on the show. We're going to be talking about women being freaks, but we're running out of time. We're down to the last 2 minutes. Real quickly, Natasha, in 30 seconds or less, plug any project you have and plug any upcoming episode of Females Uncut.
All right, everybody, you need to go to femalesuncut.com, and you can check us out on MySpace, Females Uncut, online. But I want to hear what people have to say about my short, which is deadbeatdads.tv. No, I'm not an angry black woman. I love black men, but go to deadbeatdads.tv. You'll see a little bit more personal about where I'm coming from, and then also you'll be able to add your comments on YouTube. It's Deadbeat Dads. You cannot miss that. But definitely check us out on Females Uncut. We are always talking about some racy topics. It's not PG-13, folks. So go on over there and get a and, blood flowing. I say Females Uncut will let your blood flow. So you can check us out at FemalesUncut.com, and you can check me out at DeadbeatDads.tv.
Well, Natasha, it has truly been a pleasure having you on my show, and give my best regards to Michelle. Enjoy both of you. Both, even if I disagree with points, you were both very upfront, straightforward, provocatively honest, and that's what I look for. Listeners, join me next week as I invite Alexis K. Tyler to talk about freaky women. Until then, peace.
Talk Radio.